For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
Resorts, homes, and a newly built hospital have been washed away.
I'm just holding on for dear life here. This isn't fun.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Save what for dream.
You must ready.
Helping your community.
Helping your family.
Helping you.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Nisambulu Vinaka. I'm Josiah Nanunga, based in Suva, Fiji.
Hi, I'm Fred Hooper, based in Australia, and this is Pacific Prepared.
This show aims to interweave traditional knowledge and climate change, helping you to be ready for any disaster through stories and talanoa from the Pacifica.
We take all those things and put them all together, so hopefully you feel more prepared for natural disasters.
This is all done through stories and talanoa. Talafamatala, Olketa, Talanoa, and Story from the Pacific. On today's show, wet, or otherwise known as Udha, and more Udha in a local Fijian language. Some parts of the Pacific have seen a lot of water and rain recently.
Yep, and that's what we're focused on today. We'll take you to Vanuatu, where they've also had heavy rain and flooding, but they've also had to deal with an active volcano.
And we will hear from Fiji's weathermen about their forecast before we wrap up another cyclone season next month. That's all coming up. This is Pacific Prepared.
We need to be prepared for the future.
Helping you stay safe.
We have built a seawall 2 times, but it did no good.
What happens when something goes wrong and how do they respond to it?
Plan this time before disaster strike.
Every natural disaster gets worse.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
Pacific prepared.
If you're listening to this in the Pacific right now, there is a good chance another familiar sound to you might be this.
That was a common sound on most rooftops across Fiji earlier this week. Rain, 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 and lots of rain.
Absolutely, Fred. And that came after Category 2, Tropical Cyclone Irmel, passed between Fiji and Vanuatu. Even though it did not create or cause major damage from strong winds, but it eventually brought heavy rainfall across the country. Many areas were severely flooded, Fred.
And at times we do take for granted those people who are working behind the scenes, who are guiding us with that sort of accurate and really verified weather advice to make sure that we stay prepared and alert for these things.
We will now hear from the director of the Fiji Meteorological Office, Misaele Funaki, who will take us through the work they have done over the past few days to keeping Fijians informed and be disaster ready.
And thank you for accommodating me in this very important segment. The monitoring of a tropical, first of all, the Fiji Meteorological Service operates on a 24/7 basis, 365 days a year. We are here, come rain or whatever the weather, we are monitoring the weather. And in this particular instance, tropical disturbance 09F initially started off as 09F, and it was just a tropical disturbance over the beautiful isles, the Happy Isles of Vanuatu. Then it eventually developed, became a depression, drifted south, eventually became a tropical cyclone once it met the threshold of being a tropical cyclone. But I wanted to say that before it became a tropical cyclone, not only were we monitoring it from Fiji, we also have our good partners and Met Services in the Pacific, Vanuatu, Tonga, who are also monitoring the same system. So there is a good collaboration, there is a good discussions that we have amongst us in the free exchange of weather information before we eventually named it. And once it is named, the warning started being broadcasted in the islands which rely to the Fiji Met Services.
When you say the information being distributed to the people out there in maritime zones, villages, how do you ensure, how does the team ensure that this technical, scientific, solid information is simplified in a manner that will be well understood by people in villages?
Well, when there is a very true question, you're taking a very, very technical bulletin and you are trying from Tua and Pu and the uncles in the far-flung islands to understand. So what we've done with is that, one, we've ramped up the use of social media. Gone away from just sending out technical bulletin. We were sending out information through our FMS Facebook page. We were also using our friends around from the Fijian government Facebook page. And this was done in a very simplified manner. And we were also working with the radio stations in translating it into the vernacular languages so that for those in my beautiful island of Onilau to the south could understand that it is sent out in the Itoke language, and also to auntie or to uncle in parts of Fiji also get to know it because it is sent out in the Hindi language. So the messages, even though it's also sent out primarily in English, it also sent out on the same tone in the Itoke and in the Hindi language so that everybody gets the same information and everybody gets a chance to prepare themselves on the weather that is approaching us.
Correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first tropical cyclone recorded during this cyclone season from November to April. What are the chances that there might be another one before this cyclone season ends next month?
And that is true. This is, when we look back our history books or our climate records, this is the latest that we have ever named a cyclone within a season. Nothing happened in November, December, January, and even into the month of Feb, just towards the tail end when that happened. But, you know, for a cyclone to spin, it needs that particular energy pulse that comes in. So for the last couple of months, these energy pulses have been coming in. Whilst they were not able to spin up a tropical cyclone, we had a few tropical depressions. Tropical cyclone Irmel was tropical depression 09F. So he had spun up 8 other tropical depressions. And with that as well, it brought in a lot of rain. And that lies in with our conversation earlier on the broadcast that we've sent, was that it was going to be a La Nina season where we were expecting a lot of rain. So there has been a lot of rain. We've had one cyclone on this particular energy pulse. And another, when another energy pulse comes in another 3 weeks, that is when we will monitor the system if it has the ability to spin up another cyclone.
So the Fiji Met Office initially forecast that there would be, that there is a chance that there'll be two tropical cyclones that will hit Fiji or will come across Fiji's EEZ within this cyclone season. And how does the team label or name any tropical cyclone?
That is a good question, and it is a question that we get asked frequently. The naming of a tropical cyclone in the region lies with Fiji. We monitor the whole region in terms of tropical cyclone. This particular tropical cyclone, Irmel, spun up in Vanuatu. Fiji named it. If there was to be a tropical cyclone that were to happen in the Cook Islands or in Samoa, they shall rely on Fiji to provide the name. The naming goes in alphabetical order from A to Z, and we have 4 lists with us, and we have a sequence on how they are to be named. Every 2 years, the Met Services, they meet and they decide on the name. If a name is to be dropped, then let's take the unfortunate case of Tropical Cyclone Bibi a long time ago. You will never hear of that cyclone again. Why? Because it reminded you of the cyclone of the late 1970s. So if Fiji was to propose that we retire the name Bibi, we may come up with the word probably Berry. Cook Islands might say, you know, unfortunately, Fiji, that word is not good in our language. Then they shall probably provide us another name. Once everybody agrees that the name is fine, then that is recorded in the naming conventions of tropical cyclone, then the list gets sent to us. that is when we name the cyclones accordingly.
So in other words, our office here in Namaka holds the list of all the names that were agreed upon from the convention or the meeting that normally sees a lot of or the heads, top brasses of the weather offices in Vanuatu and
Vanuatu in Fiji or RSMC Nandi, the Regional Specialized Meteorological Center Nandi, is one of only six such offices all over the globe that names tropical cyclone. So in the Pacific, in our area of responsibility that covers Vanuatu, the Solomon, Tonga, Niue, all these countries, the Cook Islands, Samoa, Fiji looks after all of those and we name the cyclone when it happens in those areas.
Talking about Vanuatu, their weather office, they are also incorporating traditional knowledge into their system, how they work with the scientific data or knowledge that the team usually rely on. What are the chances our weather office here in Namaka in trying to venture into that space as well?
Nakawale, when I must commend the good work of my fellow director, my good friend, Director Lebu, in the Vanuatu VMGD for the good work in recognizing traditional knowledge. Fiji is also following on their footsteps. We note the importance of traditional knowledge, for we know that we have members of our community, as much as you want to tell them about the science, they cannot take it. They go to a certain level, they shall drop back on the traditional knowledge that we have. They have. So Fiji, we are working closely with our Itaki Affairs and our communities on trying to get what information they consider critical when it comes to weather. You know, some of them, it might not mean the terminology, but it means what are the signs. And these are the information that we are gathering. And in due course, it shall also be part of the way that we broadcast and provide weather to members of our public, particularly those of us who are in the far-flung islands or those who are in some of those remote communities who rely solely on traditional knowledge to navigate their daily lives.
An absolute timely advice from the director of the Fiji Meteorological Office here in Namaka, located next to Nandi, Mr. Misaele Funaki. Sir, Pinaka Bakalebu, thank you so much for your time.
Nabalebu, and God bless our beloved Fiji.
The time to prepare is now, not right before an emergency.
No electricity, nothing whatsoever. You are listening to Pacific Prepared.
I'm pretty sure that some of you might have seen the photos and videos of the floods that created havoc in most parts of Fiji early this week. And I'm pretty sure you have seen some of those, Fred.
Yeah, I have seen some, Joe. Lots of water laying around in different places, obviously, where it's low-lying. Lots of people who are trying to, I guess get to higher ground, essentially.
And it actually created a lot of chaos, disrupting movement due to road and infrastructure damage, such as bridges. And it also affected the supply of agricultural produce, particularly crops and vegetables, because most of the farm fields were inundated with flood waters. And these farmers as well, most of them, they live in the interior part of certain areas, and they are unable to transport their produce because of the infrastructure damage. Some of the bridges were damaged and roads were flooded that made it impossible for them to transport their produce to the main markets.
Joe, you visited some affected communities and we'll hear more about the challenges that many Fijians in villages face during times when there is heavy rain.
In Fiji's Western Division, a recent road slip at Samo Village in Nandrunga disrupted traffic along the busy Queen's Highway. The damage caused major delays for commuters and raised concerns for nearby communities. For villagers, it was a shocking sight that unfolded right before them. This was after days of continuous heavy rain.
Kitu kinda dala mandanga na token koro. Kitu kinda dala na kena sa may kasura na ngonsal
We were shocked to have witnessed how the road was damaged. We noticed that there was a massive traffic on the main highway. And that was when we realized that there was a road slip. The Fiji Roads Authority visited us and we had a dialogue with the community elders. They proposed to construct a bypass to temporarily ease movement for commuters along the Queens Highway.
The proposal required part of the village land. It was not an easy decision. But after careful discussion, the land-owning clan understood that refusing a temporary bypass would also affect their own people.
We had a deep thought that if we don't allow FRA to build a bypass in our given piece of land, then it would also in turn affect us, the villagers of Semo. Because we also have villagers who commute daily for work and school. So our clan, which is called Nabili Sao, we can't bear taking the other routes via Nalele and Malo Malo to connect to the other side of the road. This is to also accommodate those who travel to the Nandi International Airport to ensure they are not affected.
The road slip was unexpected, but disasters can happen at any time. The goodwill and quick decision by the Nambili Sao clan helped fast-track the process and gave the green light for construction. The temporary bypass was completed in about 1.5 weeks.
The situation strengthened community spirit. It also showed strong collaboration and teamwork between the Fiji Roads Authority staff and the villagers. Sometimes, even in disaster, communities come together and rediscover the true meaning of communal support. The collaboration and teamwork following the slip and the flooding has paved the way for some unemployed young men in the village to earn extra income. They assisted in giving passes to commuters, since the bypass road can only accommodate one-way traffic.
But continuous heavy rain earlier this week caused widespread flooding across parts of Fiji, particularly in the Western Division. Semo Village was not spared, and neither was the temporary bypass. Pitao says this was never expected.
We did not expect the bypass to be flooded again. There was too much rain over the past few days. But thankfully, the floodwaters have receded and movement continues again. We are indeed grateful and thankful to Fiji Roads Authority. Despite the weather situation, their resilience and passion for their calling keeps them going.
Semo Village sits beside one of Fiji's flood-prone rivers, the Tuba River. Over the years, villagers have learned hard lessons from severe flooding events, especially the one that happened in 2012.
This is one of the most dangerous rivers in Fiji. We expected flooding as per the warnings issued by the Fiji Weather Office. The worst flooding was in 2012. That's when we learned many lessons. From then on, we did not take flood warnings lightly. Whenever we hear about heavy rain warnings, we prepare accordingly, because the Tuva River can easily burst its banks. There are also talks with the government to relocate the villages, but nothing has eventuated until today.
We are all about the rain this week. We have heard how Fiji has had heavy rainfall recently that caused flash flooding and some other stories of heavy rain in the neighbouring countries.
And it's not just happening in Fiji. Vanuatu has also had a lot of rain, which has caused, obviously, flooding and damage across the country.
But to add to that, there's also been an active volcano in Vanuatu. So they have had a lot going on right now. Can you even imagine that?
Yeah, exactly. It's strange to think about. Patience Marwa is from Vanuatu Broadcasting and Television Corporation. We spoke to her to see how the rain has impacted Vanuatu.
Hello, good morning. My name is Patience Marwa. I'm reporting live from Port Vila, Vanuatu at VBTC. And as a digital journalist.
Nice. Good one. Vanuatu's had a lot of rain recently. What's been happening there with in terms of flooding across the country?
Yeah. So since the Vanuatu Meteorology and Geohazard Department has launched the Cyclone Ermil last week on Friday, and then there was heavy severe rainfall throughout the country, and especially in Port Vila, Vanuatu, there was severe heavy rain. And so on Friday, that the northern part of the town was, because they have like heavy river flowing, and then the severe rainfall has caused flash flooding throughout the villages. And the report that we got, the VBTC News team got, was that over 50 households has been flooded. Like they were destroyed from the flood. And maybe around 50 plus families were moved out to a safer place, like a safe church house, to be in a safe shelter. And what the VBTC news team got from the head counselor from Mele Village in Lalua, he said that they had to like move the families there for the whole weekend, and to stay there and wait for the National Disaster Committee to assist. And so far this morning we haven't got this morning we haven't got any further updates from them yet, but we will reach out right after this.
About the evacuation centres too, I assume that's where people have been going if 50 houses have been destroyed. Are they being used quite sort of heavily at the moment, or?
Yes. It's a household that has like, so there's this one household that it houses about like 10 plus families in it, and but no proper like standard housing in it. And then so when the flood came, it actually it destroyed like most of the stuff. And what we know, and we have seen, that the flood levels was above the waist, and so it was really high. And we spoke with one lady. She's a grandmother and a mother.
Yeah.
So she lost 40,000 Fatu cash.
Oh.
Yes, in the flood. And it was terrifying to see. She was just crying in the house.
Wow. So you went out and interviewed this lady in person, or?
Yes. We actually did a 5 minutes live interview with her.
Yeah.
And so she said that she hadn't had time to go and save her money, like
right.
And so she was worried about her grandkids, and she just forgot about the money. So she said that the flood started at 4 a.m. at Friday the 25th of February,
yep,
or 26th. Yeah. It started at 4 a.m. and then the flood just continued until the afternoon or night.
What about you guys at VBTC? I mean, I know obviously, you know, when things happen in Vanuatu and Port Vila, you're obviously affected as well. Is everybody at the station okay? The houses are okay? Yours?
Yes, Fred, thank you. We are okay. All of us are fine. No one has lost their, like, house belongings or anything. We are all okay.
Yeah, sure, okay. And while this is all happening as well, there's been reports of volcanic activity on one of the outer islands in Vanuatu. That it's incredible that's happening at the same time that this flood's happening. But do you know anything about the volcano at the moment?
Yeah, so it's quite normal to us because, you know, we are from a country where we are prone to natural disasters. So in the latest information we actually got from the VMTD, it states that the families from Hambai moved to a safer place.
Right. Okay, so that's the kind of the last information or update that you've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's incredible. Well, Patience, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it, and thanks for the update.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, and Vinaka Vakalevu to Patience Mawa from the Vanuatu Broadcasting and Television Corporation, or VBTC, for those insights.
I'm just holding on for dear life here.
For women, it's always safety first. They are the first responder.
You're listening to Pacific Prepared.
End of another episode of Pacific Prepared. Thank you so much for listening. And Fred, lots of rain in the Southern Hemisphere lately.
Yeah, it's been a wet episode, Joe. We are absolutely soaked to the bone over here. But yeah, no, really thinking about people across the Pacific, though, who are going through all this this rain at the moment. So yeah, really thinking about them, and good to cover some of that stuff. Thanks for your help today, Joe.
You're most welcome, Fred. Thank you for having me on the show. And I'll talk to you again next week. Same time, same place. Until then, stay safe. Nisa Mwadamanda.
Vinaka. Thanks, Joe.
Vinaka.
Pacific Prepared.
This show was made on the lands of the peoples of Stony Creek Nation in Lutruwita, Tasmania. Also the people of the Vanuatu Viti. Pacific Prepared is supported with funding from the Australian Government's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Any views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the Australian Government. It's produced and distributed in partnership with Radio Australia and networks across the Pacific, including Radio New Zealand Pacific, National Broadcasting Corporation of Papua New Guinea, Palau Wave Radio, Fijian Broadcasting Corporation, Samoa National Radio 2AP, Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, and Tonga Broadcasting Commission. My name's Fred Hooper, and thanks to my co-host in Fiji, Josina Nunga. Please share any information you've learned today, and stay safe. This has been Pacific Prepared.